All right, guys, welcome back to the Stephen Chung Show, the podcast. My partner, Mark Banks, again. Thank you for joining us again, as always, Mark.
Thank you,
Today, Stephen. We're going to talk about mindset. Four tips to improve your mindset. I think mindset is something that differentiates the great basketball players, the Michael Jordans, the Kobe Bryants, the Stephon Currys, and opposed to some other players that have not been in the league that long and who kind of choked during the playoffs, which we've been seeing here recently. Watching the NBA playoffs. So, mindset. When you think about mindset, Mark, what do you think? What does that mean to you? What resonates when you think about mindset?
When I think about mindset, I think about will. You know, your will to do something separates you because, you know, a lot of people are talented. There's a lot of smart people out there. Like right now, I'm working on a project. And, you know, I've got so many people who are like, you know, I'm interested. I want to do this project with you. And I'm like, great. You know, this is a great opportunity. You know, I'm always thinking like, you know, this person, you know, they have this great talent. You know, why haven't they gone further already? But it really just comes down to will. You know, a lot of times they just fold under pressure or they just, you know, they have a bad mindset. They have negative self-talk and all these things deter them from, you know, reaching the finish line. And I don't know, maybe if they don't think they're worthy or whatever the case may be, I mean, we'll talk about it. But yeah, I think about will to get it done. I mean, that's basically what it is.
Yeah, I think so. I think mindset starts with thoughts. Mark, do you know how many thoughts that we think on a daily basis?
Too many.
70,000. I just Googled this. 70,000 thoughts a day.
Wow.
That's pretty crazy. So if you're having 70,000 negative thoughts of I'm not enough, I can't do this, imposter syndrome, that's definitely going to affect your performance being as a father, in the workplace, as a leader of an organization. So yeah, that self-talk is huge. If you're gonna play something for yourself, like a radio, something like a record, let it be affirmation, positive words. That are going to bring you some type of productivity and success. Isn't that crazy, though? 70,000 different thoughts a day.
That's amazing. I mean, to think about that, like, just the timing on that, 70,000, I mean, how many seconds are in a day? I mean, that that means you're having multiple thoughts at one time. But that's, I mean, I believe that. I definitely believe that. That's, there's a lot of stuff racing through my mind sometimes, but... Yeah, I mean, it all comes down to you know, how you deal with those thoughts. You know, I always say this, you got to watch how you talk to yourself. You know, because it really does matter how you speak to yourself. If you're constantly saying, oh, I'm always doing this, or, you know, I'm always messing this up. You know, I have a friend, you know, the other day I was having a conversation and they were like, man, I'm always, you know, ruin my relationships. Every time, you know, I find someone I think I like, I just ruin it. And I'm just like, well, of course, because your mindset going in is that, you know, you do that. And of course, it's going to be a self-fulfilling prophecy. You know, you've already, you know, written the story before it even began. So, I mean, it really does affect you. I mean, I think about myself even, and I've had to work on this, you know, a lot in my life, especially when I was younger. I was always like talking myself out of things, you know, talking myself out of jumping off the high diving board, you know, talking myself out of, you know, things that are fun and enjoyable that, you know, I just, you know, for whatever reason, just didn't believe, you know, it was the right time or I was the right person for it. But as soon as I started believing in myself, then, you know, I found that life became easier. I mean, you've been in the business for a while. You've seen a lot of people in the insurance industry, which is a tough place.
It's crazy.
a tough place to, you know, have a strong mindset. I mean, all the rejection you have to deal with on a daily basis.
Yeah, my pastor said to me, he said, you are the most optimistic person in the world if you're an insurance agent with the rejection level that you deal with. The fact that you're in the business this long. Is amazing and a testament. Rankin, love him, great pastor, got me married. But yeah, he definitely complimented me in front of my wife, and Yeah, it is tough. A lot of rejection, you know, not appreciated, not seeing value in something that you know that there is value. You're just hoping eventually that they'll come around to see value. I hate to say it. In our business, bad things have to happen. They have to lose money in their retirement account or brokerage account for them to kind of say, hey, yeah, I want to work with you and I want to protect my principal. Or I need life insurance because I lost my friend and he was really young and he wasn't prepared, so I want to do something. I don't want to do a GoFundMe and stuff like that. So, yeah, it's unfortunate. Yeah, mindset, that's what I always said. Like, me growing up, my dad always taught me, like, you have to have, you know, you have to have a strong will. You're a minority, you're a Korean, and kind of immigrant mentality, I would say. Like, if you have to be above and beyond, you know, the people that you're competing against because you're a minority. That's kind of how it's ingrained in me as a minority. You, if it's a tie, you're not going to get the promotion or get the opportunity. So you have to really shine and do well. And life is not going to be easy. I was taught that at a very young young age, and I appreciate my dad instilling that in me and all my brothers and sisters. And that's why we do all that tough mindset. And because as a result of that, we've been very, very successful in our professions because of that. But yeah, the power of words. I mean, it's hard though. I can understand that if you had a adverse situation, if you're living in a bad neighborhood, you don't have a father or mother, or you know, you have food insecurity. How can I have power of how can I have affirmations that are positive if I have just negative experiences in my surroundings? So I totally have empathy. But that being said, if you just turn the, I would say the narrative that you are enough and that you are worth it and that you can achieve anything, and that, you know, God or superpowers, whatever they be, are going to put people in your life to change your life. And I'm a firm believer in that. You know, whatever you believe in, I'm a Christian, whatever you believe in. But I do believe that there's a power out there that brings people together. And for not by chance, I think, because there's a reason behind that. So every relationship that I had, positive or negative, I feel like I've learned from that to get to this point. And that's how you get wise. I mean, you have to have L's in order to be a champion. You just, you have to experience loss and pain. And that's the best way to learn. When you're gambling and stuff like that, oh, you want to learn? I want to learn how to play poker. Okay, you got to play and lose some money and you feel it, and then you'll get better right away. You know, hopefully you're not betting crazy stakes, but small stakes just to learn. You know, lost a few bucks, $10 or whatever, but then you can learn from those mistakes. So, Mark, I would say, do you... we've known each other for like, I think 4 years now. Is it three or 4 years? It's been like 40 years. I feel like I've known you for such a long time.
Yeah, right.
But yeah, I would say, I know you've gone through situations where you're kind of like, I'm like pushing you, I'm pushing you, you can do more, you can do more. And sometimes you're like, can I? Can I? And then you did. And then I would throw another challenge and you would accomplish that and accomplish that. And sometimes you look back, you go, holy crap, I've come a long way. Like, you get upset. And sometimes I have to remind you, go, look what we have accomplished. And then you're like, oh, man, because you're always thinking about the next hurdle, the next benchmark. Opposed to, sometimes people don't look back and go, you come a long way, man. Don't beat yourself up. You come a long way. I mean,
yeah. I think that's the tough part. I mean, when you're kind of in the moment, it's very easy to get discouraged because you're like, man, like this bad thing happened, like then it seems like bad things always happen, but the reality is that's not the case. You know, there are a few bad moments, but life is good. You know, there's so many things to be thankful for. There's so many things to focus on that are positive, that are going on, that, you know, honestly, the bad parts, they are what they are. They shape you, you know, they challenge you. Like you said, I mean, there was times where I was like, there's no way I'm going to be able to do this. I mean, like, that's crazy, dude. Like, there is no way. But, you know, then we found a way. And then I was like, you know what? Let me just refocus and change the way that I think. And I think that's where positive affirmations come into play. So, you know, it used to be that, you know, I would say things to myself like, man, I'm a dork, man, I'm a nerd or whatever. But once I decided, like, no, that is not the character that I want to build, and I, you know, put together like a collage of, you know, the images in the beingness that I wanted to be. And then I started, you know, associating words with that character, you know, smart, you know, as opposed to nerdy, you know, just those little changes make all the difference in terms of your confidence. And when you're confident, then nothing can really bother you at all.
It's exactly, because like, you know yourself.
That happened.
You know your worth. You know your worth.
Yeah.
People are going to say, people are going to talk, and there's going to be haters, you know, obviously, when you're doing well. I've had a lot of haters. I'm like, I need to have haters. That means that you're doing something positive. People are envious. People are jealous. I'm not a person who's jealous or envious. I'm like, right on. That guy's killing it. He deserves everything. He's worked his butt off. That's kind of my philosophy, opposed to he got lucky or la la. You know, people can always discredit someone's success. I'm not like that. I'm a person that credits people who've achieved, and they deserve it. Maybe they, we all along have gotten breaks in our life. No one has not got a break in our life, you know. Maybe some more than others, but at the end of the day, we've been helped, I would assume, on our way to success. If you talk to any millionaire or billionaire, they've had a couple moments in their life where they've gotten helped, you know, and that's how I look at it. So, yeah, so number one is talking to yourself. Don't talk like yourself to the – don't talk like that to yourself. That's number one, guys. The number one thing in mindsets to improve your mindset is don't talk to yourself like that, okay? Don't beat yourself up. Number two, I think this is really important too, is think abundantly. Come from abundance instead of scarcity. And so, Mark, what is a scarcity mindset? We all can relate to that. What's a scarcity mindset look like?
I'm so glad you asked me this question. I don't know if you remember Lord of the Rings, but I'm a huge, huge fan of Lord of the Rings.
Oh,
and
I know
scarcity,
that.
Scarcity,
wow.
One of my favorite movies. I watch, like, I'll watch the whole series beginning to end on a Saturday, and that's
my wife loves that too.
That's a great day for me. but there's a character in that series that embodies scarcity mindset, and when I say that, I'm sure that rings a lot of bells for a lot of people, but Smeagol. Right?
My precious, right? That guy?
Limitless.
Oh, yeah. Dude. Oh, my God.
Master. Okay, I'm done. But,
you're good. Your voice, you should be like a voiceover guy.
That's what they say. I used to do a lot of prank phone calls in high school, man. And that my friends were like, I met Elijah Wood at a party one time, and I posted on Facebook. And everyone was like, I hope you did what we hoped that you would have done in that situation. I totally did, yeah. But anyway, Smeagol. So Smeagol is this character who falls in love with the ring. And the ring represents power, represents authority, you know, all these abilities. And for him, he doesn't want to share that with anyone else. It's his, right? Because he feels like sharing that with anyone else, if anyone else got a hold of it, then, you know, it's not going to be his anymore. There's only one ring, so there's not enough power to go around. So he has this very scarcity mindset. So he does all these things to kind of like coerce the hobbits into, you know, falling into a trap. You know, getting eaten by a spider, or, you know, he convinces Sam and Frodo to argue, blah, blah, blah. But basically, he does all these conniving things because he has this scarcity mindset that he has to hold on to this thing, right? Because there's not enough of them. But the reality is that that ring is just, you know, a metaphor, really. You know, it's just a metaphor. And it... His character, you know, is a part of all of us, really. That's why that character resonates with so many people, because it's a part of all of us. All of us, you know, when we get in power or in a position like that, we feel like, you know, well, someone might take this from me. Mm-hmm. Someone might, you know, come in and take my resources, or someone might do better than me, and that's going to somehow make me less. But that's not the reality, but that's how we think. So that's scarcity, you know, that we think, you know, there's not enough water in the world, but mm-hmm. the earth is what, like 80% water? You know, it's like there's an abundance of this. We think, oh, we lost that one girl that we really liked. Well, in high school. You know, there's like 4 billion, you know, women out there, you know, yeah. There's 3 billion men out there, you know.
That's true. It's like when your buddy's like, oh my God, my life is over. You know, I'm like, no, there's like millions of women around in Los Angeles. So you'll be fine, bro. Like, just stay positive, have a positive mindset. And there's possibilities. I think that's the biggest thing, is knowing that there's possibilities for you opposed to scarcity. I think it's hard for people to transition from scarcity to abundance. And they have to be kind of in an environment where people are empowering them and lifting them up instead of dragging them down. Because every relationship that you have, nothing is like neutral. Either they're empowering you or they're, you know, bringing you down. And sometimes the families are the ones that are bringing you down. They do love you, but they're just scared that if you get too high, you're gonna fall, and it's gonna be really, really hard. So that's why I understand how parents are like, you know, keep be humble, you know, type of thing, and not maybe give you too many attaboys or pat on the back, because they don't want you to get too high. It's kind of like Asian culture. I'm Korean. Like my dad, like
that's Shakespearean, dude.
For me, like being Korean, like he'll never tell me that like, he's proud of me or whatnot. When I was younger, you know, I would just do my thing, but I would find out later that he's like talking, he's proud of me to his friends and stuff like that, but never to me, because he wanted to keep me humble, I guess. And I understand, it's kind of the mentality of being an immigrant from Korea. But I don't know if you experienced that or not. I don't know if you were pat on the back every single day for doing stuff or not, but I don't know what your experience is. What was your experience like, Mark, growing up?
Well, you know, my parents, I grew up, my parents were separated, and they both had different mentalities. So it's like I got two extremes. Like, my dad was very, kind of like your dad, didn't really want to pat you on the back. My dad was a Marine. He had to work really hard to get where he was at, and, you know, he always had kind of like a chip on his shoulder. And, you know, for him, you know, it wasn't about pats on the back. It was, this is what you're supposed to do. Like, good job. I mean, this is what you're supposed to do. You know, and the bar was kind of very high with him. Whereas my mom was like, she celebrated every victory, you know. You know, she celebrated the small stuff. Oh, you made honor roll. Oh, you did this. You know, congratulations. And, you know, let's go get some chicken nuggets or your special meal, whatever it is that you like. You know, my dad was kind of the opposite. He's like, he only celebrated the larger victories, which, you know, it's good to have kind of both. I think that I don't think there's a problem with either. You know, some people respond in one way, some people respond the other. I kind of found myself in the middle. You know, sometimes I was like, kind of like, you know, I found myself like as a disciplinarian, like my dad sometimes, but sometimes like I had that more loving part of myself, like my mom. And, you know, I think learning from both and going through experiences myself, I found that you just got to be somewhere in the middle, honestly.
Yeah. My mom was like so loving. My mom's like the most, she's like an angel. My mom's like an angel. She's so loving and so proud of me, and, you know, like your mom. And my dad is a little more cautious, I think, a little more scared. He don't want me to fall too much, but I love my dad. I'm so close to my father. I think the best father ever. I can't ask for a better father there. But yeah, okay. So abundantly is important. I guess that's the experience that you had through your parents. But if you had could you imagine if you had two negative, I mean, not negative, but two people were on the extreme of not giving you any type of affirmation in your life? It would be tough, right? Like, just, it would be really difficult. I think a lot of people grow up that way. If you grew up, like, maybe in socioeconomic situations where both people are not doing so well, you know, it's hard, like, to be such a positive and joyful person. Like, I mean, they've gone through a lot in their life. It's like, hey, man.
If you've never seen abundance, it can be very difficult to open your mind to something like that. Because if all you know is scarcity, I mean, it is challenging. And, you know, it's easy for certain people to say, oh, you know, all you got to do is pull yourself up by your bootstraps. But for a lot of people, that, I mean, no, it's,
dude, yeah, that's BS.
It's a challenge.
It's a challenge, dude.
The that, challenge.
That's,
yeah.
That's people who are like, who've had life pretty easy, or they've had a lot of support where they can say that. But some people have no support at all, financially, emotionally, no family. I mean, there's people on the street right now. We're in Los Angeles, so many homeless, but like, a lot of these homeless people, they just don't have support. They don't have family, and they're by themselves. I mean, I have a lot of compassion for people who are homeless, because I lose my job. I don't know if I could pay my mortgage, and, you know, I exhaust all my retirement. I think we're all like one incident from being homeless. Like, one thing can make you homeless. So I think people have to be empathetic to that and be realistic. And when I was in college at Berkeley, there was like a professor that, it was a mental health issue. He was a professor at Berkeley. He was like homeless, which was insane. It's like one of the brilliant minds, and just, and mental illness too, another thing.
Wow.
Which is another thing. That's another topic we can go into, but let's talk about mindset. So some of these people have compassion for them. And you're right. Picking yourself up your bootstraps is not, some people can do it, some people can't. But I say just find better relationships, I think. That's what I think. Think about it. Find people who come from abundance or feel like they're from, they think that way, even though they don't have abundance around them. They think that way. And then, you know, that's the uniform they're going to change you and influence you. I think it's the people. It's cutting people, relationships out of your life who think with a scarcity mindset will help you be even neutral and eventually, hopefully, come from abundance eventually. It's the relationships you have, the toxic relationships you have, because you don't want to be alone. Misery loves company. You know, miserable people want to hang out with, they want to make other people miserable because they don't want to be the only one. So I cut a lot of people out in life that are just completely negative. I just can't handle that no more in my life. Like, I don't have time, or like, I just really, really have no empathy for people who are super like just toxic and negative. I just can't have them in my life. I just, it affects me. Eventually, it will affect you eventually if you be around it constantly. And I had to make tough relationships. I had to cut friendships. Then I'm like, you know, what are you bringing to this relationship? I mean, as you get older, time is a scarcity. When you're young, you have so much time to hang out with everybody. When you get older, you're like, I only have a couple, one or two days of the week, and I'm very, very selective of who I hang out with. And when you only have one or two days a week, or maybe one day a week, you know, you're going to be very selective who you hang out with. And that's how you grow apart with some of these friends. It's like, you just don't see, I hate to say it, someday, you don't see a value proposition there where it's like, I'm not saying you're going to help me grow my business. Maybe you will empower me with my faith, encourage me, or be someone to be there with me during a tough time, having a lot of compassion. But you have to have some. You have to be bringing something to the table in the relationship. People are not hanging out with you today. There is a reason why. And I think it's, I hate to say this, it's a tough talk, but it's a value proposition. What are you bringing to the table? Because if you're bringing a lot of value to people in your life, they're going to be calling you and calling you and want to hang out with you and grab dinner and grab a drink and come by your house. They may drive half an hour to 45 minutes. If that person's not driving an hour away to see you, because you moved to a new neighborhood in the suburbs and you left LA, maybe just you were there, you're convenient, you're close. Opposed to now, I got to drive an hour and deal with that. It's not really worth driving out to see you. And I hate to say that. It's tough to say that, but that's the truth, man. Because back in the Bay Area, everyone's like, 30 minutes is a long time. Like, LA, not a big deal. 30 minutes, whatever. But like, in the Bay Area, driving an hour to see someone is crazy. It's like hour 20. It's like, oh, that's far, dude. Like, I'm not going to drive to Sacramento from Vermont. Like, unless you're my boy.
That's a whole other city,
like,
here.
Unless it's like a birthday party, I have to go. I feel obligated to attend. But like, just to hang out on a Friday or a Thursday, like, no, I don't think that's going to happen, unfortunately. So,
no.
So number two, think abundantly, cut bad relationships. And sometimes better to be alone and be around toxic people, right? I've told you that before in the past, Mark. Sometimes you got to cut all your friends. Yep. It's brutal, man. It's like spring cleaning. Cut everyone. But then at some time, you're at peace. You're like, I'm not worried about other people all the time. Because when you have drama in your life and you're used to drama, you seek drama. I have a friend that just loves drama. He seeks drama. He goes after girls who are dramatic because he loves that chaos because he grew up in that kind of environment. the instability, and people are gonna like go to things that they're that are familiar, and you gotta like kind of break that chain of like continuing on that chain. So yeah, like those dramatic relationships. I think drama is like I hate drama in my personal life, my business life. I never dealt with it, and that's what kept my mindset strong, I guess.
100%.
So number three would be attitude of gratitude. I think that's good. A lot of people say I follow like Ed Mylett and Brandon Burchard, reading devotionals, doing Bible study, doing quiet time, and reading the Bible or whatever you read. It's hard when you're coming from gratitude. I think your day changes. I think it's really important you start your day with positive affirmations of gratitude and being grateful for the things that you do have, things that you do not have. You know, we're constantly chasing things. Like, you know, I want to keep up with the Kims, the Parks, or the Lees. That's like a Korean one. Keep up the Joneses. Remember, we keep up the Joneses now. Not me being Korean. So keeping up with the Kims and the Lees. Me being a junk. So it's like, you know, you're always like, you know, kind of envious. Some people are very envious. Like, oh, this person has a nice car. Or this person lives in a nice neighborhood. And this person has this and that. And they had a huge birthday party. It was like they spent $30,000, $40,000 on this one-year-old birthday party. Some of these birthday parties are elaborate and crazy. I see, especially in Orange County, they go over the top, like $30,000, $40,000 for a one-year-old birthday party, which is insane.
Oh, my God.
It's a flex, obviously. It's a flex. But, yeah, I wouldn't spend that kind of money if I was in that situation. But
no.
But yeah, I think it's – sometimes I complain now. There's times like I want more. But, you know, I want a bigger agency. I want to help more people, help more household, more families. But sometimes I look back and say, dude, you did pretty good. You and your agency and Mark and, you know. Yeah, things that I'm grateful for, like, that's important. So what are some things that you're grateful for? What are some things that you do in terms of gratitude?
Well, you know, whenever I find myself, like, during the day, like, getting upset or like you know, just like stupid stuff, like, you know, I'm calling, you know, one of the carriers and they're taking too long to process something, or, you know, someone's just not doing something that I want them to do, and you know, I just kind of get frustrated or whatever, and you know, that happens from time to time. But I kind of just sit back and I'm like, Mark, what are you grateful for, man? Like, just think for a second, what are you grateful for? It's like, yeah, this is going on, but you just, you know, helped a lot of families recently, but you just, you know, helped yourself make money. You just were able to take out your mom for dinner. You're able to do all these things that you weren't able to do for a long time, you know? So it's like, it's very easy to kind of get caught up in during the day with these small things that when you look back, you're like, that is like, why, like, that doesn't even matter. It's like, that's such a small thing. Like, why am I getting so frustrated about this? Like, who cares? Like, look at your life now. Look at where you're at. So I'm always constantly just like refocusing myself and just taking, you know, 30 seconds to a minute to just say, you know what? I'm grateful. You know, I'm grateful that, you know, I've got a great business partner. I'm grateful that, you know, I came from a good family. Mm-hmm. I'm grateful that I've got God in my life. I'm grateful that, you know, I'm, you know, not addicted to drugs and alcohol or anything like that. You know, there's so many worse scenarios that I could be in that I'm just grateful that I'm not in that situation. Could things be better? 100%. But I know that it's me, and there's things that I need to do personally to get to that level. But at the end of the day, I'm grateful for, you know, how far I've come and the opportunities I've had. I mean, as a kid, I got to go to Spain. I got to go to Australia. I got like in my neighborhood where I'm from, like, not a lot of people get to do those types of things. You know, like, I know three.
Even in my neighborhood. Wow. Even in my neighborhood. That's great, man. Australia. Wow. That's,
yeah,
that's baller, man. That's
like, I speak two other languages other than English. Like, I learned Hebrew as a kid. I learned Spanish as well. You know, did language immersion programs, like, you know, like, there's so many things that I'm grateful for where I'm like, wow, dude, like, do you really have nothing to complain about?
Exactly.
Like, there are people that I help on a daily basis where I'm like, man, you know, I feel bad for you because, like, you know, they're older and, you know, now they're just trying to get their life together and they're just trying to put things in order. And it's like, it's never too late, but, you know, things could have been better planned, you know, further out. And I feel for them, you know, and I always try to do my best for them because, you know, I'm grateful for where I'm at and the knowledge that I've been given. And, you know, my way of saying thanks is, you know, giving as much information as possible. And even if I'm not going to get a sale or whatever, you know, it's not really about that. For me, it's like, hey, I'm bringing you value. I'm going to add value, teach you something that maybe you didn't know, because that's what I would want, you know, and that's how I've gotten, you know, where I've gotten in my life.
Yeah, I believe, it's my faith. It's God, it's Jesus, it's my family, it's my wife. I'm very lucky. Great parents, great brothers and sisters, a great wife. My faith, great business partner in you. I love mentoring you. I love the fact that you've grown so much. And that's kind of, every day it's like, it's kind of a reminder. I don't have any kids, but it's kind of a reminder. It's like to see someone develop into a man and take responsibility and just change and transform. I think that's really important. That's why I did kind of what I do is I want to empower even younger or older. It doesn't matter how old you are, just to kind of give you a sense of pride and dignity. I think a lot of people get laid off or haven't had opportunity to work because maybe they're in a bad neighborhood, they were unable to go to college, and they didn't have the relationships and able to even get an interview. Because all those great jobs, I was at Merrill Lynch and stuff like that, these great jobs, you have to have a great education. I went to Berkeley, so obviously, you know, they're going to pick from the top schools and stuff like that if you want to work on Wall Street firms. So I think that I love the fact that I like to give people opportunity where you can make, you know, potential six-figure income and you not even have a college degree. Yes, not have a college degree and make six-figure income and be happy and have the life that you never thought you could have because your parents or your family or brothers and sisters told you that you're not worth it and you can't, that will never happen for you. But I love to prove the doubters wrong. I love that more than anything. When someone tells me I can't do something, I just, all right, game on now, let's go. And that's kind of the way that motivate me. You can't do this. And I've always been that way. But you're right. Like you said, like it's all about, if you're coming from gratitude, like you said, Mark, in our business at the Jung Agency, our financial firm helping, you know, from life insurance people that they need help. They've been declined multiple places and then you help them and you find the best carrier that will actually approve them even though they have cancer or HIV or heart attack or whatnot. Or helping me, like me, I helped a family today that want to get out of the market, the variable accounts, the 401ks up and down to 15-20% every single day, every year. It's just insane swings. And the fact I could put her in a product that guarantees her principal when she rolls that $200,000 over, she's going to get a bonus. But on top of that, I told her, your value will never go below whatever you roll over. And that gave her some peace of mind. She's like, oh my God, like, are you serious? Like, if the market takes a crap next year, you're going to be fine. You're going to be okay. Don't worry about it. And she was like, wow. And she's a person that had no knowledge of this, a teacher. So she's not well-versed with Wall Street and different products and how they work. And, you know, me and you always do due diligence and looking through and kind of seeing the flaws of each product, the goods and the bads. And if it's, at the end of the day, if it's worth it, it passes our test, then we present it to our clients. But if not, so you're right. Relationships, sales, closing. Yeah, and I'm sorry, I forgot to mention my friends that I have. I have the best friends, man. My friends have really, like my wife said it best, and my sister said it best, like, they're your friend, oh my God, they're like a saint, because you're crazy, you're drama, you're crazy, Stephen. Your ideas, and like you're so optimistic, so you always want to do different things, you have ADHD sometimes, you want to do different things and different projects, and yeah, it's very supportive, and you know, I'm really, really grateful for friends. I think you have to have good friends. You can't choose your family, but you do choose your friends.
See that optimism, that transfer of energy, that's what draws people to you. You know, that's what draws, you know, opportunity to you is optimism and being in good spirits. That energy that you represent, when you're excited about something, people are just drawn to that because they want that. They want, like, what is that light? What is that, you know, happiness that you have? What is bringing you joy? And it's like, when we have something that we know can help people, it's like, man, this product that I just, you know, I've been looking at, I've been researching, I found a great product, you know, it's like, I want to share this with people. It's like, this product can help a lot of people. I know a lot of people in this situation that, you know, maybe previously I couldn't help, or maybe only to a certain degree, and I find a great product that, you know, outperforms other products that I knew about previously. It's like, I have to share this. And then when I talk to people about it, immediately, you know, I'm getting positive results from that because my positivity about it, because I'm excited about it. It's interesting to me, and I know it's going to bring value to them. I know it's going to change their life, and I know it's going to help them. Not just them, but their kids and their kids' kids. I mean, we're not just dealing with, you know, a one-time transaction.
Yeah, you're like me. Like, we're kind of funny. Like, when we learn something, oh my God, did you know? I call you. Like, did you know about this product? It does the 10% match, and then blah blah blah. Like, did you know that it does this? Like, living benefits, and do you know that if you get like a critical illness, you get this, or if you get a critical injury, and then they're going to pay you 48 months of, you know, almost 90% of the face amount, which is insane. But yeah, I get excited for our clients that what they can benefit from that they probably don't realize. But it's weird. Yeah, it's not like. I mean, obviously, we have a very good, be compensated pretty well for what we do, but it's not just about that. It's like, this person's account went from $400,000, you know, to $436,000 day one. He made $36,000, and saying, "Look, man, your account's at $436,000 now." Like, that made me feel really, really good. I'm like excited. I want this to grow. Like, I really want it to grow. And the reason why we want it to grow is because I have a vested interest. Like, a lot of insurance agent or financial advisor would not, like, they just do commission based and they really don't care about, they'll sell your product, they'll get all their commission up front, and they don't do no trails, so they're not incentivized to service you as a client. And that's something I just don't do. I want to make sure I get on the back end, because I want to make sure that I'm accountable, and that if I do well for my clients, that I'm compensated, not by the client, by the insurance company, for my performance. So I want your account to go from 400,000 to like 3-4 million. Because on the upside, you know, I'm going to participate and get credit and make money from that. And I think that's a win-win situation, opposed to me taking all commissions and not worrying about you, because I really don't care, because I got paid all my commissions and I'm on to the next. And we're not transactional. I was telling you about that, Mark. You're like, oh, really? I'm like, no, I'll never take all commissions up front, because that's not to the best interest of the client and myself as a business owner. I mean, I'm a CEO. I run the numbers, and you're going to make more money over time if you do a good job managing someone's account and letting it grow, and you getting excited about it going up 15-20% in a year, because your compensation went up with that, because you get paid based upon the portfolio value, paid by the insurance company, not by our clients. So, right? I explained that to you. That was a new concept with that for a lot of people that don't do that in our industry. That makes it a little different from everybody else. So if you haven't heard from your insurance agent, there's no reason why for them to reach out to you, because they already got paid. if they're not doing a review with you, they don't care, because they already got their commission on to the next. They're not going to make any money to do a review with you. And if they do a review with you, they're probably losing money in their mind. They're like, I could be prospecting and presenting and making another sale somewhere else. And that's, I would say, 95% of the insurance industry. Probably 99% is just commission based and lump sum commission. And for our retirement planning, we're not doing that. So a little bit different with that strategy. And that means you're going to have a long lasting relationship with the client, because you and the client both want that account to grow. I think that's important, right? We're motivated by money. I hate to say it. It's true. I mean, we are motivated by money. Money and time.
It is what it is. Yep.
Okay. So, attitude of gratitude. I would say a couple tips. Be grateful in the morning. 3 things or 5 things every single morning. Keep on saying it, thinking about that. Start today. Do it in the morning. Don't do it at night. Do it in the morning, because you're going to have things come up at 9, 10 o'clock, 11, 12 o'clock. You know, you already have been coming from that gratitude mindset from the morning. So that's what you want to do in the morning. And then kind of like you said, remind yourself throughout the day, hey, man, I'm grateful for my wife. I'm so lucky for my wife. Like, best, smartest girl, MIT. And I can't even believe she married a guy like me who just went to Berkeley. So it's kind of things like that. I got to be very, very grateful for. And the friends that I have to get me to where I am here and my family. So boundaries. I think this is really important. Number four is boundaries.
Man.
So why are they important, Mark? Why are boundaries important? To help you improve your mindset.
Boundaries. Man, this is something that I learned when I was early in my career and I was having success for the first time. And I found myself working, I don't know, Steven, 80 hours, 90 hours a week sometimes.
I've been there when I've started
my
career.
It was out of control. It was out of control. I set zero boundaries. You know, I would be on a presentation sometimes until 10 or 11 o'clock at night, you know, sometimes later. I would be waking up at 6 a.m. to practice presentations with people because they had this going on, that going on. People would be on the phone with me for hours and hours and hours, you know, distracting me from, you know, what I was doing and, you know, decreasing my productivity or taking away from other things in my life. And I didn't really have much of a personal life. You know, my family was neglected. God was neglected. You know, everything was neglected of, you know, outside of my work. And I just really didn't have any boundaries. So I had to learn to set them. But only after, you know, I felt like my health was getting worse. It is important. It is vital to your success. I mean, you don't really experience it if you don't have a lot of success and, you know, whatever, like, it is what it is. You don't really know, you know, kind of like the dangers of that. But as you grow, and if you have aspirations to grow, it's important to set boundaries early, because as you grow, that only exacerbates the problem and exposes the issues that you haven't worked on when you were small. That's like day one. You gotta like, these are my work hours. These are my play hours. This is my time for family. You know, have a calendar, have a schedule, you know, do what you're doing while you're doing it. You know, I'm relaxing right now. I'm not answering my phone. I'm going to go to the pool, I'm going to have a drink, and I'm going to do something that I enjoy. My Fridays, I like to work on my creative stuff, you know.
Yeah.
So on Fridays, I'm doing my creative stuff. That's my time. Unless it's vital, you know, I'm not going to take other calls. This is my time for that.
I think it's important because I think it's really important because me and you, we're doing multiple stuff. Obviously, I run the firm. I run Jung Agency. You're helping me with that. And then you have your creative stuff that you're doing. Great job. I applaud you for doing that. I have my YouTube that I'm going hard at. I want to influence and inspire people and give them some value and knowledge about travel, food, finance. And, guys, definitely subscribe to the channel. Like this video. And, I think that's really important. I think that when you have so many things going on, like if you look at Elon Musk or Jack Dorsey from Twitter, I mean, how can you be a CEO of two companies at one time? That is like, you have to be really good with your time. And like how these guys like hack time. And you see people these days actually have two jobs now. That's like the new things. Having two full-time jobs at the same time when the other employer doesn't even know because you're really good with managing your time. It's kind of crazy how you can do that. These millennials are amazing what they're doing.
Yeah.
I can't. That's crazy. Yeah, but we're doing the same thing too. We're doing multiple things. We're running businesses and, you know, so you have to kind of schedule that time. If you don't schedule that time or protect that time gets, you're going to lose that time to something else. And then you're going to end up saying, and it's like little things compounded. It's like, what's that book by Clear? Atomic Habits. Life is about habits.
Yes.
You know, love that book. Getting better every single day. That's one thing, one little tidbit I would say is about getting better every single day, being a better YouTuber, being a better editor, being a better salesman, being more knowledgeable, being a better husband, knowing the Bible a little bit better or whatever you whatever God, faith, whatever spirituality you worship, learning more coming from gratitude. But see, I think it's just, it's habits are the things that really are the things that are going to be create actions, and habits for a long, long, long time is going to change your life and change your destiny. It's the habits, the things that you do on a daily basis that compound, that make significant impact to changing your life. It's not just doing something one time, one day. It's not like that. I had a lot of agents, oh my God, I had a great day. I made $3,000. And then they think they could just do that, you know, all the time, once a week for four times a month and make, you know, $12,000. Doesn't work that way. You're going to have those $3,000 days. You're going to have those $0 days. You're going to have a $1,500 day. You're going to have, you know, a $16,000 day, which we had. But those days don't happen unless you are out there consistently working and getting yourself out there. I think that's really important.
Yeah. I mean, I've experienced the same thing. I mean, when I first started out, I mean, I had days where I was like, man, you know, I just went out on a Saturday and I went out door knocking and, you know, I made $2,000. Like, holy crap. You know, it's like, but then I had days where, or days in a row where, you know, nothing really happened at all. But having a positive mindset, putting all those things in place, kept me, you know, in the zone. And then also I created those boundaries where I wasn't gonna, if, you know, my friend's like, oh, let's go out drinking after my field time, after my call time, you know, that I didn't, I was very disciplined in that. And that's what kept me, like when we did call rooms at your apartment, yeah, Koreatown, I mean,
yeah. You were like, over, look, you drove, everyone drove an hour and a half, yeah, after traffic. Street parking in Cape Town's a nightmare, as you know. It's not easy. Yes. Lifting car. But we called as a one unit, and we all believed in something. We held each other accountable. That's the thing about the entrepreneur, I think, is really, really difficult, is that, like, when you own your own business or working from home, it's just like, oh, honey, you could do this. Honey, do that. It's like, I'm working these hours. Like, these are the hours that I work. Like, you know, it's really easy to, like, be distracted. Homies be like, hey, let's go with so-and-so. And like, it's so easy that you want to go with them. It's like, bro, we're gonna got this table, whatever. We're going to be hanging out and go to the game. And we got things set up. It's just, come on, bro. It's going to be fun. Like, just move all your appointments or reschedule or whatever. Just cancel or no show. I'm like, no way. I don't do that. But yeah, you got whatever is planned. Like, be your word. Be a professional. Be on time. Like, that's some of the things that I've just learned. Yeah. I'm never late. It's not what I'm about, but I guess being an entrepreneur, like, that's the ultimate disrespect, is coming to someone's house or coming to a Zoom meeting, financial planning meeting, and you're late. You can never be late. You lose credibility the first minute and it's over. This is someone I can count on for the next 30 years of my life who shows up to a meeting late. It's like going to a date late. I don't go to any date late. I would be early to dates, always. Before, my wife, I don't know, she'd be so flattered to hear this. I never go too late to a. She could attest to that. None of the dates that I went with her, I was ever late. I'm always early. It's kind of like my dad. Always same. Prepared. Yeah. Early. Traffic happens. Things happen. Yeah. Don't try to thread the needle, guys. Never try to thread the needle, guys. God. Go 30 minutes early.
No.
And it's okay, dude.
People want to just like skin it at the right time. Oh, I'm gonna get out of bed just 5 minutes before I have to, and then I'm gonna, you know, spend a little extra time. It's like, no, you gotta get your out of bed, and you gotta get in the shower, and you gotta do like and leave with enough time to allow for things to go wrong, because things will go wrong. That's just life. Like, when in doubt, what's that saying? Anything that can go wrong will go wrong.
Law.
It's
Murphy's Law.
Yeah. Murphy's Law. Yes. That is a very true statement, and I've experienced that in my life. Like, planning productions. Like, you know, you find one actor for a role, and then, oh, they have tonsillitis, or their cousin's in town, or they're having a baby. And it's like, you got to have a plan B, a plan C, and you got to give yourself enough time and enough grace to make things happen so that you're not rushed, frustrated, getting upset at people. It's like, if you've planted so many seeds and you've planted ahead and, you know, you did all those things, you'll never find yourself in a situation where you're like, well, I can't get this thing done. Well, I guess I just should not do this because you know, so-and-so can't make it, or this can't happen. It's like, you can never get caught in that situation. You have to have, you know, a plan in place, leave early, plan extra, have a plan A, B, C, D, E, F, G, the whole alphabet, and be prepared for things to go wrong, people to be people, you know, that is what it is. But at the end of the day, this is your time that you're going to dedicate to that thing, that this is the amount of time and effort you're going to give into it, and let it be that, you know, let it be that.
For 100%. Sure.
I mean, that's so, yeah, I mean, now a lot of people are like, well, you know, how do I set that boundary, or when is the right time to kind of set the boundaries? Steven, what would you, I mean, I would say from the beginning. I mean, I think you, especially with a new relationship or a new career or anything, like, you, day one, you gotta like figure out what those boundaries are, and kind of start working from there.
I think you have to prioritize your family and your faith, because that's going to sustain you for the long run. I always talk to people and say, hey, how's your marriage? How's your walk with whatever, if you're a man of God, when I hired you? Because if you don't maintain those relationships, you being successful at your job and killing it, working 70, 80 hours, and it this being your like life, and neglecting your kids and your wife and your faith and whatever is important to you, your family, you're not going to be, I'm going to end up losing you, because his wife is going to divorce him or get separated, and he's going to end up having to quit. And I don't want that. When I bring people on, I want them to be with me for 15, 20, 30 years or rest of their life. So I always tell them that this, your family is important. And people are like, wow, like, Chung Agency is not the most important thing in your life, dude. No, it's not. It's your faith. It's your family. Chung Agency is like number three or four. But it's going to provide for your, to, you know, tie to your church. It's going to help you take your family, put roof over your head, and be able to take your family on trips. So you definitely need money, and I feel really good about helping people. I'm really excited that you care about that, but you need to make sure that you schedule time. And if you're going to be at your kid's recital or baseball game, you got to show up. You got to go to that. That's more important, because later in life, they're going to go, oh my God, my dad never came to anything. He would always promise me, but he never kept his word. He would always say, you can never like not be your word with your kids, because when you lose trust of your kids, it's very detrimental for them. And later in life, they're going to have trust issues. Like, no, I don't trust in men. Like, my dad always told me he would do this for me, and I always waited and waited, and he never did it. Like, you know, it's like, you gotta be super consistent. Children are smart too. Like if you tell them something, they're gonna hold you to your word. They're gonna be like, you said. They're not gonna stop.
You said
you're gonna do this. Yeah. You said you're gonna do this. It's like, it's kind of cool. It's like, yeah, be your word. You say you're gonna do that. You gotta go, dude. You shouldn't have said that. That's on you. You shouldn't have told her that you're gonna go. I say I'm gonna drive up for a recital. I have to drive up 7-8 hours to make that happen. If I say it, because she's going to expect it, my niece, who I love. And so I got to be very cautious about what I say to people. So I'm about being your word. So it's better not to say anything than say something in the moment to make them happy and then later disappoint them. That's worse. You can't do that.
Way worse.
So, all right, guys, four things again. Four tips to improve your mindset. Number one is, don't talk to yourself like that. Be positive, love yourself, words of affirmation. Number two is, think abundantly. Don't come from scarcity mindset. Maybe cut some relationships. If that has to be, it is what it is. People with scarcity mindset are going to influence you in a really, really negative way. Number three, attitude of gratitude. Be real grateful. Look at your life and say, hey, what am I? I know there's three things that you should be grateful for. Everyone should be grateful for three things in life. It might be harder for others, some other than others, but you can find three ways. And then boundaries. I think boundaries is really important too, because It's like, hey, man, this is my time with my family. I get a lot of joy, or I go to church. I feel fulfilled. I feel re-energized going into for the next week. I needed this Sunday, and don't work on a Sunday. Do that, or, you know, I think those are the three things. Don't talk to yourself that way. Affirmation, think abundantly, attitude of gratitude, and set clear boundaries. And you know what? Just do it. Don't say, I'm going to do this and this. I think there's a way to go about it. If you explain yourself to them and they really care about you, they're going to understand. Especially like your boss. I don't know, maybe your boss might not understand. If you work for a publicly traded company, you might get fired or something. But me, it's like, I think it's being anyone that works with us. Like, I got to, like, people check in. Like, can I go to, like, go on a vacation? I'm like, of course you can go on a vacation with your family. You don't need to ask me. Thank you for letting me know, though. Yeah, I appreciate that. But you own your own business. You're independent. You know, you don't work for me. You work for yourself. I'm here to help you. Mark's here to help you. Here to coach you up and give you experience to be productive in this business. But at the end of the day, this is your business, and it's a great opportunity to work from home. Segue into our sponsor, JungAgency.com. If you need wealth management, retirement services, life insurance, we're doing healthcare now, Mark. I'm really excited about that. Supplemental life insurance, yes. Benefits, health benefits as well. So if you're in need of that, definitely check the link below, and you can learn a little bit more about our website and about our offerings. Guys, again, thanks again for joining this podcast. My name is Stephen Jung. This is Mark Banks. Thank you so much, and consider subscribing, and we'll see you on the next one.